Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show. Got a clear focus on what matters most. Your team seems to work well together, but then you get that call. Hey, I need to talk to you about... Or a team member suddenly explodes at their teammates and storms off the floor. What now?
Hey, it's David. And you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Welcome to your podcast, helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. And in this episode, we're answering a question that, oh my goodness, I hear it constantly. My team's squabbling. They're on each other's nerves. How do I reduce the conflict, get everyone back to work? And so in this episode, you're going to get 8 practical steps that you can take to reduce unnecessary conflict and deal with meaningful conflict effectively. One way to immediately de-escalate conflict, questions you can ask so you don't waste your time on unnecessary conflict, and how to figure out exactly what your team needs from you as a leader, or maybe what they don't need. So here we go. When you have a conflict like this, you know, serious conflict, disagreement, clash personalities, whatever it is, if you handle it well, you'll build trust and influence. But if you ignore it or respond poorly, you're not only going to lose trust and credibility, but the conflict will distract your team from the work that matters most. And this kind of team conflict can feel like quicksand. It's a distraction and sucking away time and energy, but it's also an excellent opportunity to improve morale, productivity, and processes if you can deal with it effectively. And the particular challenge with team conflict here is that, A, it's unavoidable, but also there's different kinds. And some of them you want to handle real directly and try to fix things. And then others, it's better if you don't get involved. It's better if you don't try to address somebody's issue for them and that they really are responsible for it themselves. So what do we do? How do we handle all this? So let's start with just some mindset and a foundation here, which is the reality is team conflict. It's unavoidable. There's going to be conflict. You got human beings, it's going to happen. So I had a executive vice president and his name was Jim. And he took me to a restaurant. This is when I was early in my career as a leader. And he took me to a business restaurant. It was packed for the business lunch hour. We ordered, and then I said, you know, I need to go to the bathroom, wash my hands, whatnot. And so he gave me some weird instructions. He says, I want you, when you go, I want you to take the long way through the restaurant to and from the washroom. And I want you to walk slowly and just catch the bits of conversation that you hear. So I followed his instructions, strange as they were. And when I got back to the table, Jim said, okay, of all the conversations you heard, how many were complaining about their boss, a coworker, or a problem at work? And it was half or more. And he nodded and he said, and that's normal. It's human nature to complain. You can't respond to every complaint you hear. Not every complaint needs a solution, and complaints don't necessarily mean anything's wrong. And it was a really important lesson for me as a young leader is that conflict between people is unavoidable. And that while there's always a leadership opportunity when a team member comes with a complaint, depending on the circumstances, your reaction should vary. It may be an opportunity for that person to grow, might be a chance for you to improve your leadership, or maybe it's just a moment to connect or build a stronger team or a better process. So let's take a look at these eight practical steps you can take to address conflict effectively. And as you do, to build healthy professional relationships and help your team maintain their focus, get back to work on what matters most. So number one, if you have hiring ability at all as a leader, you've got two choices in terms of building teams that are good at conflict resolution. You can either hire for the skills or you can teach people the skills. What doesn't work is expecting people to have the skills that you haven't specifically checked out or taught them. That happens all the time. Leaders just assume, why can't they be better at this? All right. Well, the fastest way to build a team that's good at conflict, hire the skills. So you can do this with a couple of behavior-based interview questions. I had every time I interview, I've had these in my question bank because I want to ensure that I'm hiring people to the team who are going to be able to deal with conflict effectively. Conflict's unavoidable. We should be having conflict. So here are some questions that we can ask. Tell me about a time when a coworker seriously irritated you. What happened? What'd you do? What was the outcome? Or maybe tell me about a time you radically disagreed with your manager. How'd you handle that? Or can you tell me about an instance where you weren't able to do your work correctly because of someone else's behavior? How did you address that situation? And many people might describe how they stayed silent, they kept their head down, or got frustrated and left. You're looking for the candidates who spoke up and shared their concerns elegantly. Whether they got the outcome they wanted or not isn't as important as how they managed it. Okay, so that's our first step. If you can, hire for conflict communication skills. All right, now let's get into the moment. There's heated team conflict. Our second skill, we want to de-escalate that conflict. So you got a quarrel between teammates, it escalates into a shouting match, and like out of nowhere, an employee swears, slams a door, storms into the break room or parking lot. And many managers respond to these heated moments by getting sucked into the drama, or some will just try to ignore it altogether. But either way, the situation is not going to improve. When tempers flare, your first job is you got to reestablish a safe working environment for the entire team. That means taking a breath, making sure that you're calm, centered, and not reacting to the drama with drama of your own. And next, if the people involved are still in a public area or with the rest of the team, move the people involved to a more private space where you can talk. And rather than talking right away about their unprofessional behavior, begin the conversation by getting the facts. You can start with, you know, what happened? As you hear their side, check for understanding. So what I hear you saying is that there were too many people in your space and you couldn't get your work done. Do I have that right? When you check for understanding and you ensure that you're hearing what they're saying, you're respecting the person, you're helping them feel seen, helps de-escalate the situation. And if the person's distraught and says things like, you don't understand, you can help de-escalate even further by calmly and quietly saying something like, you're right, I don't understand, and I'd like to. Can you tell me what happened? As you confirm the facts, you can also de-escalate the situation by acknowledging and checking in on their feelings. For example, you could say like something like, it sounds like having all these people in your space was very frustrating. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Once you've heard the other person's perspective and acknowledged their feelings, now you can guide the discussion to solutions. And the solutions are going to depend on the specific circumstances, what happened, and if they can safely return to their work. An apology might be what's needed, might be some coaching to help them deal with their frustrations productively. The next steps are going to help you know which direction to go. So number three is extending on what I just mentioned is acknowledging how a person's feeling. Call this reflect to connect. So a team member comes to you with a frustration, complaint, problem, even if it's not an explosive situation. One of the most effective things you can do to build a productive conversation, acknowledge their emotion. When they know you've heard them, it diffuses some of that emotional intensity and builds a connection that allows you move to next steps. This process of acknowledging emotion is called reflect to connect, because you're reflecting the emotion that you're picking up, that you're observing, and making sure that you understand what's on their mind. So in practice, this looks like, hey, it sounds like you're really frustrated with the lack of response from marketing, and that's sapping your motivation. Do I have that right? Sounds like having everybody in your space was really frustrating, and you didn't feel like anybody was listening to you. Do I have that right? And note here, you're not telling them that their feelings are right or wrong, and you're not telling them how they feel. You're checking. When you reflect, you're checking on what you're perceiving as how they're feeling, and then asking. That creates a common starting place for the conversation. And then our fourth step here is you want to gather information. You're going to use three quick questions to do this. You've acknowledged the person's feelings. Your next step is to get more information. And what you do next depends on the information you collect here. So you really need to know what's going on. So here are three questions you can use to assess the situation. First up, what do you want me to know? I learned this question from trial attorney Heather Hansen, who was a guest on the show many seasons ago, a couple of years now. But it's a fantastic question to help draw out what's most meaningful to the person who brought you the issue. What do you want me to know? And a lot of times when you ask that, people will pause and say, wow, okay, that's a good question. Think about it. And then they'll give you an answer. Next up, how might I help here? And this is very intentionally worded. I was just talking with a manager who was in the habit of asking her team, well, what do you need from me here? And sometimes the team couldn't answer that. And even more so, sometimes the answer they would give was not actually what they needed. And so it wasn't truly helpful. It just made them feel better in the moment. How might I help here? The power of this question is it quickly reveals whether the person just needs to blow off steam or if they have a genuine problem. It also can give you insight into how they perceive the problem. And then one of my favorite questions, this final of these three, should the three or more of us talk together? Should the three of us talk together? If there's three parties to this, the person who's talking with you, somebody else who's on their nerves, and you. Should the three of us talk together? This is a helpful question in those situations where you suspect the person might have a motivation other than solving the problem. Or maybe, you know, like they're trying to undermine a colleague, or they're just currying favor, or they're whining, whatever it might be. For people who complain and want to dump their problems on you, it helps maintain some mutual responsibility. Hey, should we three talk about this together? So depending on what kind of information you get as you ask those three questions, now you're going to have enough information to go to step five, which is to diagnose the situation. Is this an event or something that requires an intervention, problem that needs to be solved? So here are a couple of the most common types of team conflict to look for. And there's lots of different kinds, but some of the most common ones that, and you want to treat these differently. So the person might just need to vent and get a frustration off their chest. Sometimes there's a misunderstanding, a genuine misunderstanding. One person understood it this way. The other person understood the operating procedure this way. Conflict. Sometimes one party is unresponsive or sees the priorities differently. Or maybe people are working towards different goals. Maybe there's a style or a personality conflict in how people approach things. Maybe you discover a truly toxic behavior that you really need to deal with. Or maybe there are structural issues with a process or systems that are causing the conflict in the team. And so your sixth step, as you diagnose which of those kinds of situations you're dealing with, is you want to discuss and choose an appropriate solution. So if the person doesn't need any action, they're just needing to blow off some steam, that reflect to connect back in step three is likely going to be all they need. You've heard them, you've seen them, understood their frustration, they got it off their chest, okay, they can get back to it. But for like real problems that you might encounter, that people might be running into, you're going to have different kinds of solutions depending on the specific problem. So a couple of examples. Let's say you identify a misunderstanding. So you want to equip the person to have the discussion and clarify what's happening. Or maybe you need to bring the other party together and the three of you together can clarify what's going on. Sometimes you're going to find you're the cause of the problem. Maybe your statement, your goal statement was unclear, or you haven't clarified how values should resolve when they're in conflict. And in those cases, your best path forward is you want to get everybody together who's involved in this and get them the clarity they need and take responsibility for it. Hey, listen, I was not as clear as I should have been. That's created some frustration. Let me clear that up. Then there are other cases where maybe it's an unresponsive peer, a personality or style conflict, or other situations where some discussion can help. And in those kinds of situations, you might bring the people together, discuss the situation, and come to a mutual understanding of the way forward. Let people talk about their approach, how they're approaching it. Help people to summarize what they're hearing from one another, and then find that way forward. If you're familiar with our synergy stack, that can be a great resource for the strengths, the habits that people are bringing to their work, and then the opportunities that are there and the gaps between them on a team. You can go to synergystack.com to learn more about that, or on our website, letsgrowleaders.com/synergystack. When you discover toxic or abusive behavior, you and your HR team might need to get involved. You got to intervene. Okay, we're not going to let those things go. Let's deal with it. And then sometimes you're going to uncover structural issues. And those are things, if you can fix them, fix it as soon as you can. If you can't, if it's not something you can take immediate action on yourself, let your team know how you're going to advocate for them and help them work through this specific challenge, whatever workaround you need in the meantime, until the situation gets fixed. If it is a structural issue and you can take action to fix it, that's a huge credibility boost for you, and your team will develop even more trust in you. And then step 7, schedule the finish. I know you listen to the show for any length of time. You're like, I schedule the finish again. It's that important. Whatever the next steps you and the people involved agree on, be sure to schedule a time in the future when you'll all review what happened and ensure that everyone followed through on their commitments and responsibilities. Scheduling that finish ensures that you're not going to have to be back revisiting the same topic again and again in 3 weeks or 3 months. Schedule the finish, ensure the follow through, deal with the exceptions, and renew the commitments forward. All right, so we just scheduled the finish, but I promised you 8 practical steps. Number 8, and I am such a believer in this one, equip your team to resolve conflict together. This is one of the most effective ways. If we started with number 1, hire people who have the skills, this is where you as a leader can help build everybody on your team, regardless of where they're coming from. By helping your team resolve conflict, give them the tools to have meaningful conversations with one another, and then expect that they will use them. Because the highest performing teams, they don't shy away from conflict. They embrace it. They handle it elegantly. They understand that every disagreement is an opportunity to build relationships and improve results. So, for instance, if there's a lack of clarity, help your team ask questions of one another like, hey, what would a successful outcome do for you? How does this look from your perspective? Here's what I understood so-and-so was saying, or what this instruction meant. Did you hear it or see it differently? And then you can equip them for mutual feedback and accountability. These are some of the most powerful phrases you can help people to have, is knowing how to give feedback. You can use the INSPIRE method for accountability conversations, where people initiate the conversation, share their intent, notice the specific facts, any supporting evidence, probe by asking for the other person's perspective, invite their solutions, check for understanding, and then schedule the finish to ensure that they have a path forward. And for those kinds of situations where they can't resolve the issue because the lack of clarity is at a higher level, they're going to be able to figure that out and then come to you with the ask. Hey, we've talked about this. This is what we're running into. It's vague. We need a solution here. And you'll get a really specific request that you can respond to instead of another vague complaint. So there you go. Team conflict. How do we help people move through their conflict, get back to work? And listen, team conflict can and should be productive, but it shouldn't consume you with other people's drama. That's not the kind of conflict we need. You want to energize your people and maintain productivity by acknowledging their emotions, asking those few key questions, and creating that appropriate path forward, and then following up to ensure that everyone's followed through. So those are the skills to help everybody move through conflict, get back to work, maintain your productivity. And if those are helpful for you, if you enjoyed these, I would ask you to be sure and subscribe so you don't miss any of these kinds of practical communication skills to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. And if you haven't downloaded this already, I've shared this the last couple of episodes, have a guide for you that you can print out and use to walk your team through all these same skills. So if you're thinking about number 8, you want to equip your team, that's the specific resource you can use to do it. It's free. You go to letsgrowleaders.com/podcast and you walk through, you're going to help your team reduce their stress, improve morale and productivity. All right. So take a look at that. letsgrowleaders.com/podcast. Help your team manage their conflict, work through it, get back to the work that matters most. I'd like to thank our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford at Sheep in Space Digital Business Services, and Laura at Bruck Marketing for their work on this episode. Until next time, be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.